Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What do you call a dirty PowerPoint presentation? Mudslides.
If you just read the bio to Dr. Steve, host of Weird Medicine on Sirius XM 103 and made popular by two really comedy shows, Opie and Anthony and Ron and Fez, you would have thought that this guy was a bit of, a clown.
Can you please stop bullshitting and get to the question?
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valves exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve.
Dr. Steve! It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who gives me street cred with the wacko alternative medicine assholes. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
I mean, wonderful people who, you know, are interested in other forms of medicine. This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question that you're embarrassed to take to your regular medical provider, if you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine or at DrScottWM. Visit our website at drsteve.com for podcast medical news and stuff you can buy, all kinds of cool things that you can buy. Most importantly, and not just stupid mugs and stuff, although we have those too. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything you hear with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, practical nurse, physician assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very good. So please don't forget stuff.drsteve.com. It's STUFF.drsteve.com. You can just click through and go to Amazon and do your regular shopping, or you can scroll down and you can see the Rode robotic tuner. Now that we're doing video, we should do a demonstration of that thing. We could do it after, so it's not part of the show. It would be boring, but it's cool as hell.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
I mean, you have a robot in your hand, and it tunes your damn guitar for you. It's really neat. And tweakedaudio.com, offer code FLUID, and don't forget, that'll get you 33% off. And Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. So, yes, very good. So we're doing sort of a special show. And this one, we have a live stream going, and we're going to get some questions off the live stream. And I saw one from Dusty Rhodes.
The American Dream.
Yep. Woo. What happens? I never worked with Dusty when I worked in championship wrestling, but I did. He did a video one time, and he was threatening Greg Valentine, or he was threatening somebody that was threatening Greg Valentine. I can't remember. And then they did the thing actually in like Dorton Arena or Charlotte Coliseum, but he never actually came to the studio when I was there. But I did meet Andre the Giant, and that was cool. And I knew Mr. Wrestling Tim Woods, Ricky Steamboat, Ric Flair was there, Greg Valentine, Baron von Raschke, the Igor the Polish Prince. I've told all these stories before. So, but that was quite delightful.
That
anyway,
cool.
All right. So the American Dream. So where is his damn question now?
I've got it right here.
Okay, you got it?
Yep, I'll scroll back to it. What happens to the sperm once the vas deferens is cut? Where does the new made stuff go?
Yeah, that is a very good question.
Good question.
I got to come up with... This is really when you give an answer.
Give yourself a bill.
I got to come up with a better sound for when somebody comes up with a great question, but I'll give them one of those for that. So the anatomy of the testicle and the vas deferens is you've got this, you know, ovoid thing down there called the testicle that sperm is created in. Mm-hmm. And it has some other functions as well, including hormonal things. But one of the things is that you get these cells that mature into sperm cells, and then they got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. So they all collect in these tubules, and there's this mass of tubules called the epididymis, which is in the upper backside of the testicle. If you want to feel it, you should feel it when you do your self-testicular exam. Oh, you know what? It's October.
It is, isn't it?
Yep. We need to do our self-testicular exam because we do it every year on the anniversary that we did our first show at SiriusXM, which was October. Oh, no, it was October 13th, but that's okay. Opie and Anthony's anniversary was October 4th. How do I know that? And I don't know my own son's phone number. I don't know. But anyway, so let's do a self-testicular exam. Let's all do it. And then we'll get it done for the year because every woman knows how to do a self-breast exam. But they don't teach young boys to do self-testicular exams. And testicular cancer is a young man's disease. And every year we do this, we'll get one or two people that say, wow, you know, I actually found something and they took care of it. So this is what you want to do is take off your drawers. You want to be completely naked when you do this. A good time to do this is getting out of the shower.
Should we have some music for this?
You want some?
Let's have some mood music.
Okay, you got it. So the best time to do this is when you're getting out of the shower, and it's a warm shower, and the cremaster muscle that pulls, you know, the shrinkage has relaxed.
Yep.
So your nuts are now sagging down about as far as they go.
They're free-flowing.
Yes.
Soft, supple.
Exactly. So you'll reach down with one hand. You want to examine each testicle separately. And what I like to do is just reach down and feel the testicle itself and make sure it is vaguely ovoid, egg-shaped, and that it's pretty much smooth. Now, there are a couple of places where you might feel a little bump, and that in these anatomic places, that's kind of normal. But if you feel it anywhere else, the front, the bottom, the middle of the back, that's not normal. And what a lot of people will describe is it feels kind of like a piece of aquarium gravel
Okay.
Sometimes it's stuck.
Okay.
So if whatever it is stuck to the surface of the testicle, and you can tell because you can't move it around,
right.
It moves with the testicle. That's something that should be checked out. Now, if you make a C clamp out of your hands and reach around behind the testicle, now you can get a feel for this thing at the very top of the testicle. I'm going to get rid of that stupid music. At the top of the testicle, on the backside, that when you slightly squeeze it, it feels a little mushy. When you slightly squeeze it, it feels like you're kind of getting kicked in the nuts very lightly. That is your epididymis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there can be an appendix, testes, and some other things up there that feel like little tiny, maybe mushroom, tiny, tiny little things up at the top.
Okay.
So, if you feel something up at the top, and if it doesn't feel right, get it checked out. But most of the time, that's what these things are. So now, and then you're going to do it on the other side, the front, the sides, the back, and then the C clamp around, and then you're going to feel the very top backside. And if you're really good at it, you can feel the vas deferens, because the vas deferens comes out of the epididymis. The epididymis is kind of where the sperm cells mature, and then they work their way into the vas deferens, which is how sperm cells get into the semen. And it's sort of like injection molding, you know, where you've got and they get injected into the stream. And when you have a vasectomy, that's the tube that they're cutting. And that will be on the backside of the testicle, just above the epididymis. And sometimes you can feel that if you really try hard. Again, if you squeeze it too hard, you're going to get that same feeling as if you were kicked in the nuts. And when you cut the vas deferens, you wonder, well, where do all those sperm go? Well, they just have nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of things that can happen. This happened to double vasectomy turd. He had a thing called a spermatocele.
Right.
And a spermatocele is where you get a collection of sperm cells, basically after a vasectomy, where they've collected, and they make a collection of fluid that's just filled with dead sperm cells at that point. But that's unusual. Most people don't have that. What happens is the sperm cells have nowhere to go. They can't mature, so the testicle just resorbs them.
Mm-hmm.
The difference between men and women, one of the differences, and when I'm talking about, when I say men and women, I'm talking about sexual characteristics of the testicles and the ovaries. Let me say that. That way I'm not saying something wrong.
Sure.
The difference between the testicle and the ovary is that the testicle will produce sperm on and on and on as long as there are you know, the right hormones to support it and the right substrates to support it, whereas the eggs seem to be created with a finite number of eggs. And when you use your last one, you're done. That's when women go through menopause.
Right.
So very interesting difference, which means, an 80-year-old man theoretically could impregnate anybody as long as they've got an egg that's waiting to be fertilized, whereas a woman most of the time will, and it depends, the average age is around 51, will have a finite number of eggs.
Right.
Okay?
Yep. I got another one for you.
I was kind of there at the end trying to navigate that obstacle course to make sure I didn't say anything.
Yeah, I think it was fabulous. Fabulous. Fabulous.
Well, you know,
we don't want to. No,
I'm cool.
No, you are cool for an old timer.
That's right.
For an old timer,
I always say trans fat bad, trans everything else yay. So
yes.
You know, I'm totally cool. It's fine. It's just, you know, I talked to Bailey J once, and she said, I even get confused sometimes. So if she gets confused, then I guess it's okay if I get confused sometimes.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, hey, we have another one from Jody. She had a good question earlier, but this time it's. She had shingles one time. How common is it to get it again?
How common is it? Well, that's an excellent question. It's uncommon. I can say that. Normally, shingles are one and done. Shingles is a return of chickenpox. So you had chickenpox when you were a kid. You went through the scratching and itching, and the virus retreats, and your body's immune system basically shuts it down. But the viruses go, we'll be back. Mm. You haven't seen the last of us yet.
Yes.
And they retreat into a nerve ganglion, which is just a collection of nerves going just outside the spinal column.
Mm.
And at later in life, when you get stressed out, they'll go, ha, 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 I told you we'd be back. And they just come back out again.
Yep.
But they're only in that one nerve root. They don't go everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when you have chicken pox, you have what we would call disseminated varicella, although that's really reserved for adults who have a crummy immune system. Mm-hmm. When they get chicken pox again at the end of their life, usually, or they've had some, had chemotherapy, or they've had, bone marrow radiation, getting ready for stem cell transplant, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they can get disseminated varicella, which is, varicella is the name of the virus that causes chicken pox and shingles. But for the person with a normal immune system, it will come out of that one nerve root, mm-hmm. which is why it's always on one side. Mm-hmm. And it's in one localized area of the body.
Yeah, almost always. Now, I have seen it one time. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not, yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. I apologize. I didn't mean to talk over.
No.
But
you're fine.
But I was telling her on Jody on the chat room too that it's not it's uncommon, but it does happen. People can get the shingles pop up time after time after time.
Well, okay,
but that can be stress related.
So here's the thing: I've had people say once a month I get shingles, or once every 6 weeks, I get shingles. Mm. It's like, you don't have shingles, you have herpes. It's a different...
Both
herpes viruses.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Shingles is a herpes virus, which is why... But, you know, when you... And the way to know for sure is to have them... Number one, they can do serologic tests. Mm-hmm. So they'll do a blood test to see if you have antibodies to herpes simplex 1 or 2. And then they can actually... when you have an outbreak, have them take a scraping of the base of one of the ulcers, put it in viral transport medium, send it off for a herpes simplex identification, and they will put it in a cell culture, and they can tell if it's herpes simplex 1 or 2.
Gotcha.
And then you'll know.
Gotcha.
So you might as well know.
Yeah, and that's my fault.
If you really think you're having shingles over and over and over again, just make sure you don't have herpes.
Okay, and so I misspoke. Yeah, it's a joke.
Well,
thank you. Yeah.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
The overall incident rate of herpes zoster, which is shingles, is 5.1 per 1,000 person years. The recurrence rate, is 12 per 1,000 person years.
Yeah.
So there were 2,100 recurrent cases out of 39,000 initial episodes with a 4-year mean follow-up period.
Okay.
So it does happen.
Yeah.
It's just uncommon.
Yes, sir. Hey, so, and her other question was, should she or
but it should, it's like once.
Would you suggest getting vaccinated?
Yes.
I would too, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, they're still recommending that here's another one, if you had it, they still recommend that you get vaccinated so that you just don't get it again, because it sucks. Now, I have all these breakthrough cases, I had influenza, I got vaccine, I got influenza, but I didn't die. 105 temp.
No, but
didn't
you're
die.
Sicker than shit.
Well, for a little while. I did the Relenza. I like the Relenza better than the Tamiflu, too. Relenza, you inhale, it just seems to do better, in my opinion. I don't have any data to back that up, but when I can, if I have somebody with influenza, I'll try to get them to take the Relenza. And then I had COVID, and then I was sick as shit.
Yeah.
And I got COVID-19, but I didn't die. And then I had the shingles vaccine, and I got shingles, but it was the most mild case of shingles I've ever seen. And I was incredibly stressed out when it happened.
Yep.
And it was just on one little place. It itched for a couple of days, and then it was gone. So although I've had all of these things, I still am a huge proponent of each one of their respective vaccines. And it's your choice. Do it or not. But now here we go. Herpes zoster recurrences more frequent than ... And you have to click the link. Previously reported. Okay. Hmm. Rates of herpes zoster recurrence at shingles appear to be comparable to rates of first shingles occurrence. Oh, and what? In immunocompetent individuals, suggesting that recurrence is sufficiently common to warrant investigation of vaccine prevention in this group. Oh, yes, of course. Okay. Wow. Of 1,670 people with medically documented episode of herpes zoster, 95 had recurrences, an average follow-up of 7.3 years. So the estimate of recurrence rate at 8 years was 6.2%. Okay. Yeah, so I don't understand their conclusion, but I have to look at that. But so they're recommending that people get or at least consider getting vaccinated if they've had a recurrence of herpes zoster.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
All right. You could be looking that up. What are you? Is that what you're looking up, I hope?
No.
For fuck's sake.
No. Hell, I'm working over here.
You are? No. Okay. What are you working on?
You don't pay me enough to work it. That much harder. No, I'm talking to just finishing up with Jody. We do have like one more question.
Okay.
Yeah, one more question.
Okay.
When you're ready.
Yeah. No, I'm ready.
Yeah. Yes. It's about Suboxone. So
okay.
We've got a friend, Chris, the Suboxone has solved his depression and has no intention of getting off of the Suboxone. Are there long-term issues in using Suboxone forever? He's a 42-year-old male.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me go back to the first one and remind, and then we'll come back to that.
Right on.
One thing that we didn't mention. The reason that you take the shingles vaccine is not to prevent shingles. It's to prevent postherpetic neuralgia, which is a painful syndrome that goes on and on and on for months, maybe years, sometimes your lifetime. And if you get shingles in your eye and then you get postherpetic neuralgia and it lasts the rest of your life, you're going to be miserable. So that's the main reason for taking a shingles vaccine. Healthy adults 50 years and older should get two doses of Shingrix separated anywhere between 2 and 6 months. Even if you've had shingles, received the Zostavax, which was the previous one, or are not sure if you ever had chickenpox.
Okay.
All of those.
Okay.
No maximum age for getting it. All right. Okay, let's go back to the Suboxone. So his main question is he's going to take it because he's achieved sobriety on it. So Suboxone is buprenorphine with naloxone. And what it is it's what we call an agonist-antagonist opioid. So it, in the presence of opioids, it will kick the opioids off of the receptor and it'll put you into withdrawal. But in the absence of opioids, it acts like an opioid. So it's a good drug to use for people who have substance abuse problems, no matter how they started. A lot of them start because somebody went and got a vasectomy done, and then they gave him a big peanut butter jar full of oxycodone, which was what happened in my case. I didn't end up with a substance abuse problem, but that was ridiculous. I took one, and they were just sitting there. But I understood after that how this stuff happens.
Sure.
You know? So what you can do is you get someone, and they commit to trying to achieve sobriety. The best way to do it is get them into counseling, too, and group counseling, individual counseling, whatever, to work on those triggers and all that stuff, try to avoid triggers. And then you bring them in when they are starting to go through withdrawal. And you give them that first dose of buprenorphine, or a.k.a. Suboxone, with naloxone. Naloxone is an opioid blocker. And what that does is if you take it orally, it doesn't do anything. But if you try to shoot it up, it'll block all the opioids in your body. You take it, and then all of a sudden you feel good. You feel right again.
Right.
And that's the value of it. So you want to give it to people when they're just starting to go through withdrawal so they can see the value of it. And then they can take it. You can ramp them up and keep them there forever. Or you can ramp them up and then you can taper them off if they want to and be off of it, you know, and be completely off all substances if they can do that. Now, everybody's different. A lot of addictionologists that I talk to are proponents of keeping people on it for a long time.
Yep.
What that does, though, is in many locales, you have a limit to how many patients you can have on this stuff. And so if you reach your limit, you can't take any new patients if you're just maintaining everybody. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So this person is on it, and they're going to stay on it because it helps them.
With their depression,
And maintain their sobriety, too. Now, where the depression may be coming from, ask them this. Are they still in there? Ask them if they went through full-blown withdrawal, because if they went through full-blown withdrawal, this is why we don't want people to go cold turkey if they can avoid it, is they could get a thing called post-acute withdrawal syndrome. And post-acute withdrawal syndrome, you know, the withdrawal itself can take a week to 2 weeks, but then the psychological effects of puking your guts out and feeling like crap for 2 weeks, and then the chemical changes in the brain can give you depression for up to 2 years, and anxiety and malaise, and you can just feel like crap. So we really try not to let people go through full-blown withdrawal, but that may be why the Suboxone works for them. I'm just throwing that out just in case. See what they say.
He is still listening, but he did take pain pills, and it wound up elevating his depression. And when he got on the Suboxone, when he started the Suboxone, he came off the pain pills and
he felt better.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay,
good
fair
job.
Enough. Fair enough. Yeah, excellent. Yeah,
hang
excellent.
In.
We'll give you one of these.
Yeah.
Very proud of you. Congratulations. Yeah. And people on Suboxone can work. They can do their regular lives. They can get back to it, and they don't have to go cop somewhere and, you know, all the things that go with it. So including, especially if you're shooting up and, you know, being exposed to needles, if you're not in a place that supplies clean needles, is, you know, you're putting yourself at risk. So it works. The other thing that Suboxone clinics are good for are people that have been discharged from their pain clinics. You know, they may have gone to one pain clinic, got discharged because they, I don't know, you know, had a bad urine drug screen. Then the next one, they had a bad pill count. And now nobody will see them. A Suboxone clinic will accept you with open arms in a situation like that. Mm-hmm. And you can get your pain. It's a really good pain medication. And you can, they'll kind of keep things under control. So what was this? Oh, the long-term effects. Mm-hmm. Well, there are long-term effects to taking all opioids for a long time. Mm-hmm. One is your testosterone. You start feeling, if you start feeling fatigued, get your testosterone checked, because about 50% of people on chronic opioids will have low testosterone. And there may be some increase. I'm going to look this one up for buprenorphine, but there may be some increase in risk of some malignancies as well.
I was looking it up. I haven't seen anything that just jumped right out.
Well, for regular opioids, like heroin users, will have an increased risk of malignancy if they take it for a long time. So let's see here. I'm not seeing a whole lot in here. So, yeah, I'll do some research on that. But as far as long-term risk, there's definitely more long-term risk to you abusing opioids than there is to taking Suboxone.
Yes.
So
yeah,
the
sure,
benefits sure. outweigh the risks either way. So
yeah, especially if you can get down to a low dose.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
all right.
Well, good way to go, Chris. Hey, thank you, man.
Got anything else?
No, sir. I believe I'll do it.
Okay. Let's see here. How long have we been going? 24 minutes. We'll do a couple other. Let me look at a couple of these. We've done this one before. This is Tracy from Louisiana. But we've done this question before.
A rare COVID question
yeah.
for me.
Thank you.
Oh, shit.
Are people that are vaccinated, are they actually asymptomatic and don't realize it because they're actually not catching the virus, but they're still breathing it in, transporting the virus around,
I see.
And breathing it back out?
I see what he's saying. He's asking, Is it possible that they're not infected? Are they acting as human fomites? So if you remember what a fomite is an inanimate object that if you sneeze, let's say you sneeze on it, or a doorknob is a good example. You snot in your hand, you grab the doorknob to go to the bathroom without washing your hands first, then someone else grabs that doorknob and then sticks their finger in their nose, mm-hmm. and they've had fomite transmission of a virus. And COVID-19 has not been well known for that, but certainly it's possible, particularly if it's got a big glob of snot and a short period of time outside the body. What he's asking is, can the humans act like a human fomite?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that the answer is pretty much no. The only time I could imagine that you would be a non-infected passive carrier is if, let's just say, somebody sneezed and it got on your lip.
Okay.
And then you immediately kissed somebody on the lips.
Okay.
You wouldn't be infected. Right. You could be totally protected from it, but you could transmit it to them that way. That'd be about the only way.
Or maybe if somebody sneezed in your hand and you shook somebody's hand and...
Yeah. Then you would be sort of a non-inanimate fomite. I don't know what the name for that is. There has to be a name
for it. There's got to be a name.
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good question.
Oh, funny.
All right. Let's see.
From Tracy? That was a good question from Tracy.
Let's see. Oh, okay. Oh, no. This is Jim Scott from the great state of South Carolina. Why are we getting those off? One of you assholes. I'm not going to say it. Anyway, thank you. Now we're getting political voicemails on our voicemail. Anyway, let's see. Okay, let's try this one, and then we'll be done.
Oop. Steve, I have a weird medicine question.
Thank you.
It's really gross, so don't comment on how gross it is.
No, that's...
It'll just discourage us creeps.
No, we love it.
From sending questions in.
Thank you, sir.
If I urinate in my sink, in my bathroom sink...
Please do.
...regularly instead of the toilet...
Well, okay. So why? But it's okay. I know people who do this, so let's...
But every time I urinate in the sink, I wash my hands, and I wash, like, this... Like, I, you know, cut my hands and make sure that water I wash off the sink. And then I... Later on, you know, either brush my teeth or fill up a cup of water from that sink and drink it.
Okay. Yes. Okay. I think I know where this is going, but I'm assuming you're not filling up the sink and then dipping a cup into it to fill it. That would be crazy. You're filling it up from the tap. So you're not really filling it up from the sink, right?
Is that... Am I at risk of catching anything?
No.
It's my own urine.
No.
I'm kind of washing the sink out.
Yeah. Urine is sterile anyway.
Yeah.
So really, you should be okay. You can even, I mean, there are people that drink their own urine. I don't recommend it. There's no value in it unless you get some sort of sexual pleasure from it. But don't drink
or
a lot of it.
You're stuck in the middle of a desert.
Well, you can do it the first time. The first pass is probably will keep you alive, but the second pass will kill you.
Yeah, no good.
And so there are some survival people that tell me that it's okay to drink that first pass, particularly if you were well hydrated before you became lost in the desert. And so you're peeing out dilute urine. But after that, it's going to be hyper-concentrated urine and you can't drink it anymore. But so no, that's okay. And again, you're pissing in the sink.
Not into your cup.
And then washing it out.
Right.
And then you are brushing your teeth by putting the... I mean, does anybody still fill up the sink and then somehow brush their teeth that way?
Yeah,
I mean, we did in camp.
I don't think so, yeah.
But then, you know, we had to bring water. We had to get it from a spigot and bring it over there. So you had like a bucket. It was disgusting.
Yeah.
And then you would spit in there and then wash it out. But that's not what you're doing. Well, you have modern plumbing. So you're good. You're good anyway. You're good if you pissed up in the air and it went all over your face and you just wiped it off. You'd be okay. Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Do you recommend urine therapy for anybody in your crazy practice that you have?
No. Okay. No. That's one of the few crazy things I don't know much about. But
yeah, so that's not a part of traditional Chinese medicine at all.
No.
It's weird that flying squirrel fecal matter is.
It is.
But human urine, they didn't find a use for that.
And eating the afterbirth after women give birth.
Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. They fry it up with an egg.
Well, sure. It's God.
Lots of protein.
Tons of protein, yep. Tons of iron in there, particularly if the woman has lost a lot of blood, which I would say even now that happens.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But certainly back in the day that happened. And I had a dog. She gave birth to 10 puppies and ate every single one of those placentas. She had 10 placentas.
Wow.
And then didn't leave that whelping box.
Yeah.
Because she had 10 puppies for 2 days.
Wow.
When I finally got her to go out. I said, come on, Sadie, you've got to go out. She went running out there and took the most gigantic dog dump I've ever seen in my life. It was unbelievable.
I love it.
She was a good mom. God, she was the best dog.
I don't remember her.
No, you don't. This was when I was in Vermont. That's way before your time. And you probably don't remember her son, Alpo, who I had in Rogersville. His name was Alpo. He was a big white lab.
Yeah.
Huge white lab. Died at home. It was very sad. But that's what, dogs. Ugh.
No different than us.
No, I know. This 12-year lifespan thing is kind of getting on me.
It's
getting
good.
Because I'm just thinking about the dogs we have and the cat we have. I love being with them and having them part of our family. And I guess if you just dwell on, this is going to end someday. You're going to do that with your own life, with your vacations, with your holidays, and the next thing you know, you're going to be dead, and all you did was worry about stuff. For real.
Yeah, no,
so I had to learn to stop thinking that way, but I still, every once in a while, I get a little wistful about all the doggies and kitties that I've had.
Yeah.
But I used to, and we're winding up, so I used to go on vacation and say I'd take a 2-week vacation at the beginning. It's like, we've got infinite amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just an infinite amount of time. 2 weeks seems like forever. And then the first week is over and you go, if I was just going to be here for a week, this would be the beginning of my vacation. And then it starts to happen. You can see the sands of time. And then it's all of a sudden it's Monday and then it's Wednesday. It's like, oh my God, I can't stop time. It just keeps going. And then and then I'm just freaking out. And I would get, choked up because I'd be sad because I had to go leave this wonderful vacation. And then I'd just be miserable for the rest of my vacation. I'm not like that anymore. If you are like that, let me tell you what helped me get rid of it is journaling. Just every day, sit down, write down what you did. Particularly if you go to the beach, all those days just run into each other. But write down what you did today. We ate here. This is what we had. We saw dolphins in the water and all that stuff. It helps to make the days last longer. It's weird. It sounds goofy. But, Opie and Jimmy and Anthony made fun of me talking about doing yoga for back pain. And now at least two of them that I know are doing yoga for their low back pain. So,
yeah, funny.
And they've talked about it. I'm not talking about it out of school. So anyway, listen, let's get out of here. Thank you all for hanging with us. And we will see you very soon. Thanks always go to Dr. Scott, who's I'm always here, and I appreciate it. We can't forget Rob Sprance, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, that Gould girl, Lewis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Chowdy 1008, Eric Nagel, the Port Charlotte Whore, the Saratoga Skank, Roland Campos, Sister of Chris, Sam Robert, she who owns pigs and snakes, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone,
the boss.
Finally. Tacy, you're on Weird Medicine.
Steve?
Yeah, you're on Weird Medicine.
Oh.
We're almost done. I'll be right down. Oh, shit.
Now you're in trouble.
Oh, that's a good reaction.
I think I'll be climbing out the window out the back.
I better wrap up the see you laters. Let's just get to Ron Bennington and Fez Watley, whose support of this show has never gone unappreciated. Listen to our SiriusXM show on the Faction Talk channel, SiriusXM channel 103, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern, on demand, and other times at Jim McClure's pleasure. Many thanks to our listeners whose voicemail and topic ideas make this job very easy. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts, other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps, quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys. That was a good show.
Was it?
Great show.
Okay.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.